Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Previously on Detective.
From the very first homicide that I worked, I couldn't think about anything else. When I think about the case that the police officers failed on my mother's murder, I don't think that I could ever do that. We went to the police department, and I went to the sergeant at the desk and said, my brother just killed somebody. My brother going to prison, I don't think it was nearly as tough on him as it was me.
Due to the graphic nature of the content, Detective may not be suitable for all audiences.
It took me about 15 years before I even went to visit my brother in prison. I just was pretty angry about the decisions that he made. My grandparents were gone, my parents were gone, and we're still here. When you start to question your existence and your survival and God's grace, you know, like, how did I deserve this? You realize that it was all in the plan.
That's Detective Rod Demery. Throughout this season, he shared his experiences as a homicide detective, secrets of the trade, memorable cases, and his own personal stories of his mother's murder and brother's incarceration. So where have his experiences led him? What has he learned? And how does he deal with guilt and forgiveness? I'm Garnsey Sloan for Investigation Discovery, and this is Season 3 of Detective, true stories from behind the yellow tape, the ones you don't hear on TV. This episode, the season finale, Redemption.
I worked a murder of a sailor. I related a lot to him because we'd taken the same paths. His name was Nicholas. He enlisted in the Navy and went aboard an aircraft carrier, went out to sea. Spent 6-7 months out on deployment, came back to the States, and came to see his parents in Shreveport. Well, he hung out with some friends of his. Nicholas was supposed to be going back to Norfolk, Virginia, but that Monday he hadn't been there. About the same time, a woman found an abandoned car in one of the Shreveport neighborhoods. And when I get there, I locate all the evidence that the person in that car was dead, his Navy uniform and a few other things. Basically, what happened was on his way back, he stopped to see a friend, and that friend ended up shooting him and killing him. But that case was just, it mirrored so much of my life that it was probably one of the more difficult cases. The fact that he went to Shreveport and he got killed, it was just, I got angry in that case. Because I couldn't understand. I feel for victims more than I probably should in the middle of the case, but for this family, it was, God, they were just such wonderful people. A couple of years later, I had a son, and I knew that I was going to name him Nicholas. The night before Nicholas was born, I had a murder that I was working of a infant. the dad was mad at the girlfriend and killed the baby while she was out. The next day, Nick's mom was going into labor, and she and I were at the hospital, and I got a call from the coroner's office saying that they were getting ready to do the autopsy on the infant. I told her that I'll be back before you have Nick. I promise I'll be back. And I went to the autopsy, and there I am watching this whole thing happen. After that, I went back to the hospital, and Nicholas was being born. I made it to his delivery, and I cut his umbilical cord. After that, I went to the jail where I had the suspect on the infant murder and interviewed him. I got a good confession, a good story, good evidence, and closed the case. But I went home that night thinking, wow, it was pretty overwhelming, but it was kind of an insightful day. I realized at that point that God had a plan for everything. He had a way of showing me or giving me the ability to appreciate life. There are so many things wrapped up in that case and the murder of young Nicholas, the sailor, and then the murder of this infant, and then the birth of my son, and all these things kind of meeting on the same day. Not being able to appreciate the beauty without respect for the despair. Not being able to be overwhelmed by the despair without appreciate the beauty. It's almost impossible for one to exist without the other.
Before that day, how did you view the world? Were you a glass half empty, glass half full guy?
I was always a glass half full guy, I guess. Even though I worked plenty of murders, I seen a lot of death by that time. I don't know, I think that day I was probably more understanding of how things are going to work and accepting the fate and the reality that this is part of life. I don't know, I guess I just kind of balanced it out in my mind. My son's name, it has a meaning.
How old is Nicholas today?
He's 7. Nick's a good kid. I'm old now, so, you know, I'm patient and I'm present. And so I think that makes a big difference.
Does Nicholas know what Dad does for a living?
Oh, yeah.
What does he think of it?
He thinks it's the coolest thing ever, actually. He's fascinated by it. I hope he doesn't want to become a police officer, but he does, and I guess we have to accept it.
Having a child, especially one who idolizes you, can certainly bring some perspective to your life.
In kind of a strange way, my children were the replacements for all the other things. For all intents and purposes, I lost my brother, my grandmother, and it's all of a sudden I have this family. When you start to question your existence and your survival and God's grace, you know, like, how did I deserve this? You realize that it was all in the plan. My grandparents were gone, my parents were gone, and we're still here. All these kids came for a reason. My family exists. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would not have the same thought process I have now. It's just the ability to show the existence of people that would have never, ever been known. My mother in particular. It's a redemption. I don't think I've ever parted from my spirituality. It's always been there, you know, like the prodigal son. Even though you don't always do the right thing, I think it's the intention. It's not going to be easy, especially with my brother. The most difficult thing in my life. I still try to remain faithful. I still try to do the right thing. That's a difficult road, but when you get to the end of it, there's a reward.
What happens when Rod comes face to face with his brother for the first time since he was in prison for murder? That's next. Rod's brother Patrick came to him one night, covered in blood, asking for help. Once Rod convinced Patrick to turn himself in for the murder he committed, Rod left and didn't look back. How could he forgive his brother for committing the worst crime imaginable? One that makes a victim not only of the person who was killed, but of their family and friends. Especially after having experienced it himself through the loss of their mother.
It took me probably about 15 years before I even went to visit my brother in prison. Yeah, because I just was pretty angry about, you know, about the decisions that he made. I don't even know how to begin to make amends for something like that. But you need to try, you know, one way or the other. Experiencing that kind of loss, experiencing the loss of you, you know, part of your soul, part of your identity is torturous. While my brother was in prison, my grandparents died, my great-grandmother died, you know, and, you know, it left me in a position where it was already difficult enough to deal with those challenges and, you know, that type of loss. But I think my anger came because my brother wasn't there, not necessarily just to support me, but to assist in it.
Or to share in the emotion of it all.
Yeah, you know, it's, yeah, especially my great-grandmother, you know. My grandparents were really up in age at that point, so there was not a lot they could do. My grandmother, she had a stroke, so she was immobile. And my grandfather had a couple of heart attacks and prostate cancer and all these other things. So when my great-grandmother died, it was me going and making all these funeral arrangements and doing all that stuff. I think it really kind of pissed me off that my brother wasn't there.
It's a challenge when the one person who's supposed to be left in the trenches with you can't be there due to his own actions.
I've never looked at my brother's situation as him being a victim, because I think the choices that he made or the decisions that he made them. And it's just something he's going to have to deal with. I look at his situation as more of a point of abandonment and anger. It took me a while to get over that. 15 years, actually.
Did you forgive after 15 years, or you just came to terms with
him? Yeah, you know, I'd realized at that point that I'd have forgiven everybody in my life except him. And it just kind of happened. I was in Louisiana, and a friend of mine was going to be on the Wheel of Fortune, and she asked me to go. After her game show, I rented a car, and I drove to go see my brother, and that was...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It was an experience. I mean, I called the prison, and there was a lieutenant there, and I told him that my brother was locked up there, and I wanted to come see him. He explained to me that you had to fill out all these forms, this background investigation, and blah, blah, blah. And I told him I was only going to be in town for a couple of days. I said something that, must have been law enforcement jargon, I guess, because he said, "Are you in law enforcement?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a cop." And he said, "Come on down, we'll get it worked out." So they kind of pushed me up. I went in and saw him, and he had no idea that I was coming. He wasn't expecting me at all.
You haven't seen him for 15 years. He doesn't know you're coming, and he gets called out into the... Was it through a glass or was it a common room?
It was contact. It was
a common room. What was that moment like?
Yeah, it's incredible, actually. I felt really good, and I could tell he did.
Was he shocked to see you?
Oh, yeah, he was totally shocked. My brother thought I was never going to see him again because he knew me and he knew my personality, and he just figured I'd never come see him.
Did he ask you what made you change your mind?
No, not at all. Yeah, my brother, he's so sappy. Wants to hug, you know, and all that stuff. And I forgave him at that point. We sat down and we talked about nothing. You know, we talked about like, you know, hey, you remember whoever and, you know, stuff like that. So it was a great conversation. Yeah, I've always thought my brother was just this badass, and he really was. So we're sitting in this day room, and some dude comes by, and he's got tattoos on his neck and his face, and he just looks like a monster. And he crossed between the two of us, and he looked at my brother, and he said, "Excuse me." I said, "Damn, he's still a badass." You know? So we ate pizza and whatever else they had in the vending machine. We took some pictures, and I left. We communicate. I talked to him yesterday, actually. Me and my brother, we talk a lot now, but I haven't been back.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh, 2007, maybe. I actually don't have any desire to go back.
Why?
I don't know. I think I can say that I've always loved my brother, and I'll always love my brother, but some of the things he did, I just didn't like. Although I can forgive my brother and communicate with him and do anything I can for him, I think the choice that he made is his choice. It's not that I don't feel for my brother because, God, I mean, daily, you know, I worry about my brother. I can love my brother and not accept the shit that he did. I think the fact that monthly I can make sure that he can call or he can have the things he needs is probably enough. Leaving my life and my family to visit a penitentiary on a monthly basis is just not something that I'm going to do because he didn't have to do it. And I think part of my going to see him after 15 years was guilt. And where I resolved my forgiveness for my brother, I also resolved my guilt and realized that I didn't do it, he did it. And it's a choice. I do better for my brother when I take care of my niece or we talk, and I don't think I do any good sharing his prison experience.
When is he due to get out?
Real soon, actually. I think he's up for boards. Maybe in a year. He's been in prison for 22 years now. I'm going to assist him with that, making sure he has an attorney and a competent attorney.
When it comes to the parole board, will you vouch for him? Will you say, as a member of law enforcement, I will watch his back?
I think when my brother... If he does get paroled or gets out of prison, he's going to be his own man and live in his own world, and I'm going to live in mine. I can't, in good conscience, not just my brother, anybody, say that I think somebody should or should not be in prison after they've been through the system and been adjudicated through that system. I think that's the system's decision. That's just not with my brother. That's with anybody. You know, I've worked many murder cases, and people... Go to prison or whatever the case may be. That's the justice system's decision. I can't be held responsible for anybody. You know, he and I had a great conversation. He called me one day and we were talking about our mother and our growing up. And he said, you know, he was always angry with Jerry. I mean, his whole life. And he told me that he didn't realize why he killed the person. And I told him, well, I do. Yeah, you've been wanting to kill Jerry all your life. That guy was Jerry in your mind at that particular point in time. You know, it's all that rage that had been built up.
And when Rod told Patrick the truth about Jerry, it seemed to help him cope too.
I think Pat was really, I think he was relieved that I did the search and found out the circumstances. At the same time, I think he had already made up in his mind. You know, my brother was very smart. And I think my brother knew the circumstances probably long before I did. And, you know, I think my telling was just confirmation.
Did he ever have any peace in the knowledge of the circumstances, finally knowing after all these years?
Yeah, I think Patrick now, he's 52. In the last few months that he and I have talked, he is definitely at peace, I mean, with everything in his life. He talks as if he is. He talks about our father. He talks about our grandparents. He talks about growing up. So I think the only thing that really troubles my brother at this point in his life is the fact that he doesn't have a relationship with his daughter. I think at some point he wants to repair that. Now, I've definitely done my part to try to make that happen. And I think if and when I do go visit my brother, it's going to be to take my niece.
She's not ready to forgive.
No. No, my niece has my personality. My brother always says that, yeah, I think she's your child because she's just like you. And when I talk to her, I laugh at some of the things she says because she sees things the way I see them. She sees the world the way I see it. I think maybe she and I have similar emotional personalities because she lost my brother when she was a kid, so she doesn't really have any memory of him. I guess because I understand. I've been there. You know, I don't even know that she realizes that she doesn't forgive him. I think she just believes that she just doesn't know him. But I think the reality is that she's dealing with issues of abandonment and questions why and all those things. It's going to be in her own time. But the last conversation she and I had about going to see my brother, she said she would go with me. And, you know, that's a huge step. I actually put them on the phone together. I think that's the only thing he's trying to resolve. I think he's even expressed his extreme remorse for what he's done. I mean, and then the first time and the whole time he's been in prison, I hear him talking about that. And I think the only thing he's trying to figure out now is how he can repair his relationship with his daughter. And, you know, like I said, I can forgive my brother for the things that he's done to me, but I can't for everybody else. And nor would I attempt to.
Through his experiences, both professional and personal, Rod has seen a lot of the worst humanity has to offer, but he somehow still manages to find an upside to it all.
I think the thing that I learned most is that I don't think there's anybody that has a perfect situation or perfect family or perfect structure or anything like that. Kind of have to nurture the things that you had. I can actually remember when I came to that epiphany. I was driving down the street and I was listening to the radio. And it was about the time Tim McGraw came out with that, you know, Live Like You're Dying song. And I started to feel more New Mexico than ever. Country music is kind of home. And I was listening to the lyric and it was just kind of wild. It makes you think about a lot of things, you know, and there are a lot of people in your life that probably needed you and you weren't there. And just as you need people and they're not there, then they feel the same things. When I resolve my issues of forgiveness, I also resolve my issues of guilt. Just as the man who killed my mother, I pray for him. I pray for my brother. And that's about all I can do, actually.
Detective is part of the Panoply Network and was made for America's leading mystery and suspense network, Investigation Discovery, by DeFacto Sound, a sound design team dedicated to making television, film, and games sound insanely cool. It was produced by Mylon Fitzwater Barrows with help from Stephanie Wilkes, production oversight by producers Emily Kaiser and Elizabeth Stevenson, and executive producers Amy Angelowitz, Garnsey Sloan, and Lorna Thomas. It was recorded by Chip Sovek,
Additional recording and mix by Kenneth Gilbert. Original music was composed by Chris Kennedy. Cover art was designed by Anand Galat. Special thanks to Detective Rod Demery for sharing his story with us, as well as Sean Barrows, Anastasia Brown, Judy Fitzwater, Hillary Heskett Shapiro, Heather Holloman, Sam Sneebly, Ash Sevilla, and Dallas Taylor. Subscribe on iTunes to get new episodes of Detective on your feed. And if you like the podcast, rate and review it. Check out Detective Rod Demery's new television show, Murder Chose Me, only on Investigation Discovery. I'm your host, Garnsey Sloan. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.